Grant had the announcements today and the singing, and so I asked him, I said, you just want to do the preaching too? And seemed like you ought to change jackets every time he does something. Our preacher is out of town, which doesn't happen very often on just pleasure trip. He leaves quite a bit, going on meetings 6-7 times a year, but this time he'll be gone till Thursday. And just for pleasure. And so if you're visiting with us, you'll have to come back. He should be back here next Sunday. And he'll definitely be worth coming back to us. I'd like to talk to you just a few moments about being sensitive to sin. You know, we can grow accustomed to about anything. We can accustomed to living in a dirty, clutter house. We can get used to wearing dirty clothes or the lack of personal cleanness and hygiene. We might not get comfortable with it, but we can get to the point that's the way we are. I feel like every time I go out into society, we can get that away with sin, too. In the same way, we can grow comfortable with sin. And if we do, I think we're in for trouble. We cannot grow comfortable with sin. We are taught in the Bible that righteousness and godliness and warn against sin. And it says for us to flee from it. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness and faith, love and peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart is how we need to be. And it seems like the society that we live in nowadays, you have to be conscious of this fact. We enter the world and we find ourselves constantly confronted with sin of some sort and some kind. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, I'm glad I wasn't raised in that. Well, I think we probably all were raised in it. When I read my Bible, they had bad times in the Bible, too, and sin. And I recognize that it's something that we need to work with and be concerned about our children and so forth. But let me tell you, you parents who are here with your young children, you're doing the right thing. You're in a sound, strong congregation, and it'll carry forward when they go outside this door. There's a lot of places in Bowling Green it's not like that, but I know this place is. And you are to be commended to bringing your children and worshiping here, and in the long run it's going to pan out. In an environment where our peers eagerly engaged in the sin we have been warned against, we are at risk. And I have a grandson, and of course I'm about my grandchildren just like about yours. I got the best ones. But this boy is a really good boy. And he goes bowling, and he goes bowling, goes to the mall a whole lot, and I warn him, and I warn him, and I warn him. I said, you know, Colin, you are little in stature. They're going to pick on you, and they're going to cause you trouble. Your friends are going to be doing things out there that you cannot get involved in. I said, it'd take a bigger man to walk away some situation than to deal with it. I said, I didn't do that necessarily all the time, but I want you to because you're such a good boy. And he is a good boy. And this is what we got to do. When we are away from our home and we're away from the church, we must be careful lest we grow accustomed to the darkness of sin. When we leave this building tomorrow, every place we go, we're going to see sin all over Bowling Green. Bowling Green is a small town, but we got our share of sin. And we need to be aware of that. When we're at our house, when we're here at the church, we seem like we're immune from it. But as soon as we go out through the door, Our society seems like it gets more corrupt every day. Something that we've got to be aware of. We've got to work with it. On the workforce, every place. Couples living together in marriage is sinful without marriage. If a thousand do so, it soon becomes acceptable as norm. In the society we live in nowadays, people say, well, you don't have to get married. We'll just live together. And we have become comfortable with it, that it doesn't create a problem with us. If we come comfortable with it, our children are going to come comfortable with it too. We're not very sensitive to the sin that it brings about. Same way, one homosexual is a sin. But when we live in a society which we do now, society tends to accept it as a lifestyle because we see so much of it. But the volume of something does not make it right. And our children, our young people need to be taught that. I recognize it's through the society. You can go out to the mall and see a woman with woman and man with man. But it's not right. The same is true of every sin that you can think of. When we look at the advertisements on television and newspaper, we grow to tolerate it. Well, if the movie stars can do it, then I can do it. The ball players can do it, then I can do it. And we get kind of immune to the sin, our sins that's in this world. And God said we're on danger ground when we do that. We are studying in a Bible class on Sunday morning and Wednesday morning what happened to the children of Israel because they left God in their sins and adultery. The same is true of a religious error. We might be well taught, rooted, and grounded in a sound doctrine. As long as we associated with families and friends and strong, sound congregation. Let me tell you something right now. Not every church in town is a strong, sound congregation. We live in a society where you look few and far between to find that anymore. It's easy to be faithful to the Lord when we're in a congregation such as this. But I don't want to seem bragging, but all congregations in Bone Green is not like this one. And our kids need to know that when they grow up and they go to someplace, they've got to find out a congregation that stands for the truth. They've got to be sensitive to the sin that is out in the world. But out of the safe environment, out of our congregation where the prevailing wind of compromise and progressive ideals comes about. Some of us have never been in a congregation like that. But there is some. They come up with every ideal underneath the sun, which one appears foreign and sinful gradually, but become very familiar and then accepted with it. Oh, I don't see why that wouldn't work. It's called scriptural authority, Bible authority. I remember back in the 50s when I first got aware of this. We started doing things, and if they looked, my dad said, if they looked far ahead 25, 30 years, they said, how in the world did we get this far? I told you about my story about my dad was one of the large country congregation wanted him to come and preach the day that he was leaving to go to Arizona because of his health. So he went out there and he told the elders, he said, I cannot go. Because the doctor told me I had to go to a warm climate. And I have to stay 5 years. And then I probably get well, my lungs get well, and I come back. He said, I'd like to preach for you. They offered him the job. When he came back, he was kind of destitute of out of work, and he needed the job. And he went out there, and he had to go to someplace. So he went out there, and they wouldn't have nothing to do with him. So he met with the elders and he said, could I ask you a question? Who has changed? Have I changed or have you changed? You know? Who's standing for Bible authority now? Are you still standing or have I changed? Show me where I've changed from the scripture. In time, it actually becomes attracted, even though it is as deadly as a viper. A deadly snake that bites you. I've been in places and I've been in Bible classes where they come up with this and come up with that. And they said, oh man, I think we can do that. We'll fill this auditorium up. What attracts them is what keeps them. It's easy to profess Christianity. Sometimes we profess the faith, but we are weak in our conduct. We cannot be that away. Its value is the same as a faith alone. And we know what the Bible says about that. James says 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And when we profess to be Christians and our faith does not show that and we're weak and you can't tell us from the society out there, and I tell my grandchildren, we can't tell you any different than all the other children out there. We're not sensitive to the sins, and it'll get us. There's things that we can't do. There's things that we don't want to do. Profession can be nothing more than empty words if we don't have conviction with it, a strong conviction, a strong pursuit and belief. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We don't have this couple with us no more. But in the last year or so, he made the stand of confessing sins and says he's wrong, but he never would do anything back, never would change. I said, the Bible talks about repentance. You got to have repentance to go along with your mistakes. And God is looking for repentance, for He's going to forgive us. Conviction demands that we work to advance our belief, that we support it, that we rise up in defense of it. Have you ever been around a bunch and somebody say something about the gospel or off-color joke and we won't even stand up to it? Let sin override our conviction. And matter of fact, when we do that, we're really supporting it. The sin. Walk away from it. Walk away from it. Do not participate in it. Get away. You might not be able to talk and carry on a debate, but walk away. That says a whole lot. Conviction. That says that you're sensitive to sin. Paul was set to the defense of the gospel and he believed and preached. And I think we need to be too. What would you think about that somebody came here and walked in the door and our preacher wouldn't stand up for defense of the gospel? Philippians, the first chapter, verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partaker with me of grace. If we are Christians, we are partaker of God's grace, and we need to act like it. We need to be sensitive to sin. Conviction is not easily silent or abandoned. It needs to become a part of our being. It's just the way I am. To be of any value, our profession must be with conviction. Conviction. My mother said, remember when we go out at nighttime, remember who you are and where you come from. Today, we, the church, are being assaulted by enemies within and without. And I have seen it in my lifetime. False teachers are busy undermining and weakening and overthrowing the church of our God. Godly society has just crumbled up to nothing. And most churches in Bowling Green, not the only denominations I'm talking about churches, will not stand for the truth. We had the ad that we run in the paper. A lady came in. She's waving the ad in the paper, and Doug and I talked to her back and back. She was lost in tall cotton. She couldn't handle one of us, let alone two of us. But come on, she's saying, well, show us where we're wrong. She said, I won't, but she said, I'll get my preacher to come. Doug said he won't come. I wouldn't go to church someplace that wouldn't defend the truth. Sure enough, she came back the next week and said, you're right, he wouldn't come. He said he could go out and convert people while he's wasting his time trying to teach you to, because you wouldn't be changing. I looked at Doug and I said, he would convert us. I said, we'll go with him and try to convert some more people. Some who profess to be Christians sometimes can live with sin. I don't understand this, but we see it all the time. They attend the service of the church sometimes. That's the number one slide, to show that we're slipping. When we are to assemble with the saints and we're not here. They occasionally attend the service of the church and find it easy not to deal with the danger confronting the church and our country. If you're not here, how are you going to defend the truth? Let me tell you, my friends, if you're not here for the service, that's the number one thing to look for. You got problems. You're not very sensitive to sin. Problems are going to creep in your family. You're not here to keep it out of the church. When you go out to society, you're going to deal with it just like your friends do. Those with convictions cannot do this. We cannot do this. God expects anybody in this world to stand for the gospel. He expects his own church to do it. We cannot tolerate the enemy and their sins in our midst. It just won't work. When I was in the service, that's one of the things that kept on talking to you about. If we have conviction, we will not tolerate the enemies being amongst us, sowing discord and seed of false doctrine. We cannot pretend that everything is all right and it's all will work out in time. Satan is the originator of that statement. Oh, let's just be tolerant. It'll be okay. It'll work itself out. We have conviction. We will feel that something must be done to block the progress of opposition and to protect the Lord's church. Have you ever been in a congregation and you just come in and sit down and say, oh, man, this is nice. The place is clean. The the heat is on, or the air is on, the baptistry is taken care of, and the floor is clean, and all the windows open, the doors open, and all we have to do is just come in and sit down. Somebody made it that way. Somebody made it that way. We cannot turn and walk away from the enemy's attack. If we do, they win. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and have done all to stand. Prepare yourself to stand. Christ needs us to be converted to love and serve Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." Does that sound like too much to do? You know what you get back in return for that? Eternity, forever and ever with God. We need to grow to the point so we will not be disappointed when we stand before the righteous judge. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the good things in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." I was talking to someone last week that said he did not believe in God. I said, "You will one of these days." Trouble is, when you time comes that you do believe, you're going to have eternity away from him. Somebody that you believe in. Right now is the dressing room preparing for that. Among the visions seen by John, and we just finished Revelation, God's judgment on his enemy. In Revelation, the 6th chapter, he says, "And they said to the mountains and the rock," this is how bad it can be, "fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sat upon the throne," talking about God, "and from the wrath of the Lamb, for great day of their wrath is come, and who will be able to stand?" Bad times are coming. It don't have to be. It can be good times too. The wrath of Jehovah is mentioned throughout the Bible. He uses the flood in Noah's day. He used the fire to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He used the plagues upon the wicked. But sinful man has convinced himself, and I hear this so many times, I know you do, God's sole attribute is God is love. For God so loved the world. Yes, he did. And what he gave us was terms to his grace and his salvation, and we must accept him on his turn of salvation. But I'll tell you one good thing about it. A man or even a whole nation can genuinely repent and turn to God and avert the wrath of God. Can you imagine that? "Well, I made a mistake. God said, I'll forget it." All you have to do is say, "I'm sorry, God, I repent, and I won't do it no more." You know what God says? "Come and live with me, my child, throughout eternity. I'll wipe away all the tears." You don't want to serve a God like that? Luke 13:3 says, "I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." It would be one thing to be able to sin and not have no way out of it, but God says you can repent, and I'll forgive it to you, forgive you. The men of Nineveh repented, and thus God spared them from his wrath. Jonah 3, the chapter, verse 10, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God relent from the disaster that he has said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. That's the God I worship. Makes it appealing to you, doesn't it? Yes, it does. God's wrath is only display against those who refuse to recognize and submit to his will. We don't have to go through it. Paul tells us that because of the sin of the wicked man, that the wrath of God comes upon sons of disobedience. Well, if anybody of halfway sense at all knows that they don't want to be the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 5th chapter, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the son of disobedience. We don't want that. We don't know part of it. And we don't have to. To the Romans, he wrote, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness unrighteousness of men. That's God talking. Romans the 14th chapter verse 12 says, so then each of us shall give account to himself. Oh, God is all loving, but he's going to hold us accountable. And we will stand before him. Because we often fall into sin, we must maintain a penitent heart. We must not get calloused. We must be sensitive to the sin, willing to confess our sins. 1 John 1 and 9. This is a beautiful verse right here. If we confess our sins, are you with me? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the God I serve. That's the God I try to get everybody else to serve too. Keep God's word always before us. It's hard getting out of that inside. It's hard to be sensitive to sin. Oh, how I love your law is the way David done it. In my meditation day and night, meditate upon it. Spend some time with it in Psalms. Keep God's word with you as a reference point. Reject that which is, you know, is contrary to the word of God, or to God's word. I understand more than we should, and the precepts and promise of it, and we need to restrain my feet from every evil way, that I'll keep your word, what David says. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, a while back, we had a saying going around with all the young people. They say, what would Jesus do? That was pretty good while it lasts. I don't hear that too much more anymore. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us has endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We must be sensitive to sin. My friends, if we're not, we won't be living with him. We got to be sensitive to it. We cannot get out there and rub elbows with it and be right with it and participate with it and everything. We need to be aware of it. And even if we don't stand for the truth, then we just walk away with it. I am so sensitive. It makes me so sick that I cannot stand to be with it. Well, that's what I come to say tonight. I thank you for being here. I thank you for listening to me. It's kind of hard to get out on a cold winter night and when the preacher is gone. But I hope it's helped all of us. And if you're here tonight and you have not been sensitive to sin and this has taken your life and grabbed a hold of you, then we can walk out of here with a clear slate. And Ezekiel says that I'll never mention your sins to you again. When you stand before God, it's as though you never committed any sins. Can you believe that? That's what God says. I don't say that. I probably couldn't do that, but God can. God said, I don't care what it is. You come to me, tell me that you're sorry, that you repent from it. And he said, I'll never mention those sins to you in the judgment. If that doesn't want to make you want to be a Christian, I don't know what will. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. We could help you in any way. Would you come? Grant.